So Numbers chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 22. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for so many blessings, God, that you bring into our lives. We thank you for Aaron's blessing, God, that came from your heart, your desire, Lord, to see your people being spoken well of, God, to see your people encouraged and lifted up, to see your people, God, aligning themselves with your vision and with your heart, God, and that's my heart today, God. So, Lord, we need your help. So right now we ask that you release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. And we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said. Sorry, I still have my cough. And so, and I know I'm breaking the rules right now, but I am eating a propolis honey mixture for my cough. So I know, actually, I think you can have cough drops in the sanctuary. I think that's okay. In fact, I'm the senior pastor. It's okay, right? So, but please throw away the wrapper. So I wanna just spend a moment and talk about this and the idea of blessing. The word bless in Hebrew is the word barach, and it basically means to praise or to salute. Also, it means to kneel. And so a lot of times we see blessing in the olden days when the sons would come and receive a blessing from their fathers. The first thing they do is they would kneel before their dads. And so that was a part of what it meant to bless. In Greek, and this is primarily where we get probably our understanding more than that, is the word eulegio, where we get the word eulogy from. And so when someone passes away, someone close to that person comes up and gives a eulogy, actually from this word, and it basically is to speak well of, is to remember them in a very positive light. It means to praise, to celebrate, or make someone happy, or also means a favored of God. And so that's the word bless that we have in the scriptures. Psalm 109:28, if you want to turn there, if not, you can just listen. Psalm 109:28 says, "Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, they shall be ashamed, but your servant shall be glad." And the psalmist here is making a distinction between what happens in the world. In other words, the enemies of God, they curse, but he says, but you, O God, you're in the business of blessing. And you're when you bless us, it makes us feel so glad. Servant will be so glad. Now, there's so many wonderful things that God blesses his people with. And so just so in case that you may have forgotten, let me give you 11. This is from a very renowned biblical scholar named Frederick Marsh. And he shares some of God's blessings. And he wrote 11 of them down. So I'm going to go through this real quickly. I don't know. Do we have this on? No, not yet? Okay. So it'll be online. So don't worry about it. You're not, like, I don't want you to, like, every once in a while I need to share this with you guys. I'm all for taking notes. That's wonderful. That's fine. But you don't have to trouble yourself and try to, because sometimes when you're writing something and just feverishly getting out, you're actually not really listening and absorbing what's happening. And so that's why we put our notes online. Like exactly what I have in my hand is exactly what goes online. And so you can get it. And in fact, I mean, honestly, you can change my name, put your name on there, take all the credit. I don't care. Yeah, go for it, right? I mean, as long as the gospel goes out, I don't get, there's no copyright on this anyway. And so you can just be blessed and do that. And so here, F.E. Marsh, he says this. So 11 of them. I'll go real quickly, and I'll give you the verses, too. Number one, this is some of the blessings that God gives us. An acceptance that can never be questioned, Ephesians 1:6. An inheritance that can never be lost, 1 Peter 1:3-5. A deliverance that can never be excelled, 2 Corinthians 1:10. A grace that can never be limited, 2 Corinthians 12:9. 5. A hope that can never be disappointed, Hebrews 6:18 and 19. 6. A bounty that can never be withdrawn, Colossians 3:21-23. A joy that need never be diminished, John 15:11. A nearness to God that can never be reversed, Ephesians 2:13. A peace that can never be disturbed. Isn't that nice? John 14:27. A righteousness that can never be tarnished, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And the last one, a salvation that can never be canceled, Hebrews 5:9. These are just a simple listing, and a lot of these actually have quite powerful theological consequences or benefits in that regard. And so Marsh shares some of these things. We receive so many blessings from the Lord. The incredible ability that God gives us as human beings actually go a little further than that. And not only have we been blessed by God, but we now also have the ability to bless. We have the ability to speak life or death to people around us. Now, it's important we understand that because we created in the image of God, what we call the Imago Dei. We are created in the image of God, and the people we speak to also have the image of God, the Imago Dei. So it's important that we're quite careful of the things that we say to one another. I'll read the verse, James 3:10 is where I'm getting this idea from. James 3, verse 8 to 10, says, "No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord, our Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing." And so James is just telling us that our tongue is dangerous. And so we got to be very aware of that. And the power of the tongue has a lasting impact. We can bless someone with our tongue, and we can curse someone with our tongue. And James says the reason why you shouldn't curse anyone is because they're creating God's image. And so when you're cursing a man, you're cursing God in that same regard. That's basically what James is saying. The Roman Emperor Publius, he said this. He says, "I have often regretted my speech, but never my silence. I've often regretted my speech, but never my silence." In other words, be careful of what you say. Be careful of the words that come out of our mouths in this way. Now, this is just a precursor to what I want to get to. Today, and for the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking and teaching you what it means to build ourselves up. How do you build up your body? Yeah, you work out, right? I mean, are you going to build up your body doing what you're doing right now? What would you say to a guy that's watching TV 5 hours a day with 2 bags of potato chips and some dip and some soda? Is he building up his body? Well, maybe his bicep a little bit by doing this, right? It's just a little workout this whole time. But obviously it doesn't work that way. We build our body by going to run, doing push-ups, hitting the weight room or whatever it may be, doing different kind of exercises, even stuff without weights, lunges, and you know all kinds of things. We understand that, okay, yeah, that's how I build my body up. Well, how do you build your spirit? And that's what I want to talk about for this next month. How do we go about building our spirit in this regard? Now, before we get into that, we got to take 2 steps back a little bit, okay? First, let's talk about what makes us as a living being. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. This one I want you to turn to because this is going to be a landmark passage for us during this time. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 23 to 24. So Paul, in his address to the church in Thessalonica, this is what he said. Are you guys there? First Thessalonians is before 1 and 2 Timothy, if you kind of get an idea. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, let's read this. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. In other words, let him cleanse you just abundantly, entirely. And look what he says, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. So this is Thessalonians 5, is a salutation. Paul will most, in his letters, will mostly end his letters with a blessing. He says things like, let the God of peace cover you. May the love of the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. These are all his own benedictions, endings of blessing over the church that he's writing to. And in this particular one, he tells the church in Thessalonica, he says, now, in other words, he's concluding, now may the God of peace, shalom, himself, let him himself sanctify you, cleanse you entirely. And then may your spirit, your soul, and body. Turn to your other neighbor. Say, hey, good looking. Spirit, soul, body. Make that distinction. Go ahead. Be preserved complete. This is his blessing. This is what the Father desires. This is what Paul wants the church in Thessalonica to be well acquainted with. Let your body, your soul, and your spirit, let those things come together and let these things be complete. Let God sanctify you entirely. What is entirely? Body, soul, spirit. Okay? That's what meant entirely. Everyone with me there? Amen. Nod your head. Okay, you guys are with me. So we know when we talk about a being in Genesis, when God made Adam, and we talked about this last Sunday, Adam out of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed on him. It was the wind. It was the ruach. And so he breathed on Adam, and then it says he became a living being. And so the parts, and this is where you have to think a little bit broader than, it's black and white, but there are parts to us as a being, but those parts can never be separated. In other words, we as a being, I am body. I mean, this one I see, this is my body. I am soul, and the way that we will describe soul is in three parts. We'll call it mind, our mind, our will, and I don't know how to do emotions, but our emotions, okay? So really bad. Body, our body, we get this, right? Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so those things kind of all work together. And then we have what's called the spirit. The spirit is really the essence of a person. It goes beyond the body. It goes beyond the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. It's who we are. The spirit is what is eternal. The body and the soul is not eternal. Our spirit is eternal. When we become a Christian, Holy Spirit invades our spirit for eternity. That's what it means. So let me give you an idea. When we are born again, our body, soul, spirit, when we are born again, what happens to us? Here's what happens. The Holy Spirit invades your spirit. Your soul, mind, will, emotions is renewed, and your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, becomes God. In other words, when you get saved, there is a transformation that occurs. The Holy Spirit enters your spirit. Holy Spirit enters your body. And now your body, 1 Corinthians says, now is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's a temple of God. And then your soul is renewed. This is, therefore, I am a new creation, Paul will say to the church in Corinth. And so that's how all these kind of things encompass. Now, again, because we're talking about body, soul, spirit, we could very easily think that they are different compartments. And this is where sometimes we're maybe a little too Western, in our approach to the scriptures, and it kind of messes us up a little bit. Because in the Eastern, in the way the Bible is written, think of Western education ideology is linear. Eastern is circular. In other words, the idea of and, you know, the soul and spirit, actually, it's fine. They have no problem comprehending this. But in the Western construct, we have a little bit more difficulty understanding how these things can be. But even though it sounds like these parts of our body, or these are parts, body, soul, and spirit, but in reality, these are all intricately connected with one another. You can't just say the body's the body, and the soul is the soul, and the spirit is the spirit. It really doesn't work that way, because, I mean, just even in our natural, we can say, have you ever heard of psychosomatic illnesses? In other words, let's say you dated someone for a long time, and you're, like, really in love with this person, and then you felt like this person, you know, was going to be your spouse, and then you break up, and then because of what happened to your heart, you know, your emotions basically get so wounded, it affects your body. And all of a sudden you started getting allergies and hives. And, you know, and this is not a spiritual thing. This is actually a medical thing. They call it psychosomatic illnesses. In other words, you think that you're sick and you become sick. That's kind of basically how it works like that. And we've, like one of the, probably the last time that I really felt this and understood this is actually when my mom died years ago. And it was kind of weird because my mind and my memories and all those things were so, you know, alive and flickering, and I'd see a picture of my mom, and this is in the grieving process. I see a picture and my heart, my body, I mean, I could feel my whole body just going in, and I could feel the pain. You know, people talk about heartache. Man, I really understood that what it was like. And it wasn't just, I'm not talking about just my heart in terms of in a medical physical way. I'm talking my heart physically. My heart would pound, and I could feel my body just coming within and just weakness in my body and just looking. In other words, my mind and my images and my memory were so connected to my body that when I saw a picture, just a simple picture of my mom, I just went into this this state of pain. It, not only in my emotions and memory, but also in my body. And we see how this happens. We see that things happen when things are troubling our mind, it affects our body. And what happens in our spirit also affects our soul. And we see different manifestations of how this works. I was having dinner at a church member's house this week, my wife and I, and they were talking about a friend of theirs who had come from another country to do inner healing in Hong Kong. And they came in, and they were so demonically oppressed that when she came off the plane, her face was a bit disfigured in this regard. And so that was right when they first came, when she first came. And then after they had gone through some inner healing and gone through Cascade, afterwards, her face totally changed, and it was normal. But let me tell you the craziest thing I ever saw, one of the craziest things I ever saw in my life. I was, working at the university, I was attending a conference in San Diego, Christian college conference. It's a coalition of Christian colleges and universities. So I was there attending this conference. I had some high school students that end up going to UC San Diego, so I went and visited their church. And so I just came that morning, actually it was kind of more afternoon, just to go to church. And then when I came to church, the pastor, I don't know, he heard about me or something, or heard me speak somewhere, and he comes up to me and says, "Oh, Pastor Sam, you're here at church today. Wow, hey, can you preach today?" You know, and I was like, I have to say yes. You know, the Bible says, be ready to preach in season, out of season, right? And so, I mean, I can't say no, you know. It's like, this is my vacation, come on. And so I said, yeah, okay, I'll preach. And so, thankfully, you know, God just gave me a word. And I came up and I spoke. And then we had a time of ministry. I invited people to come up. I pray for them and whatnot. And there was this young woman that came up to the front. And And she was very, how do I say? She looked very manly. Is that okay to say that? It's okay, right? She was very manly. Long story short, she was a lesbian. And so she came up to the front, and so she's a college student, so I just went out, I just prayed for her, whatever, and bam, she was out. It's what we would call in the charismatic world, she got slain in the spirit, she fell in the spirit. In other words, the working of the spirit affected her body, and she was out cold on the ground. And so I just prayed for her a little bit, and I went and go prayed for a bunch of other people. Well, soon a whole team of people started gathering around her and started praying for her. And they were casting out demons, and it was happening for over an hour. And so then, after I finished praying for her, I went over there and I started praying for her as well. I got on my knees and started praying for her. And I kid you not, this is one of the craziest things I ever saw. I saw her face change. It was unreal. Her face that had very masculine features, all of a sudden, as we're praying for her and doing deliverance, her face became feminine. It was one of the it was one of those things where, like, I'm seeing it, but I don't believe it. This is crazy. And then afterwards, we heard her story. And she was a Taiwanese, Chinese woman. And her parents wanted to have a boy so bad. I mean, they just wanted a son so bad. And when she was born, and it was kind of like, I forget, it was the last chance or something. Well, it came out a female, and the dad was so disappointed. I mean, so disappointed. And told her so many times. And so she felt like in order to please her dad, I needed to be more manly. And so on and so forth. I mean, it's really crazy. I actually heard another even crazier testimony, but I can't share it. I know, that's really mean of me, right? I can't share it because actually some of these people are quite famous, so I need to get permission first. But when I get permission, it's crazy, man. This is one of the craziest ones I've ever heard. So in any case, so she totally, and so that's where you get a picture of someone whose soul, mind, will, emotions, and also her spirit is so wounded that it actually affects appearance. It actually affects the face, the shape of her face. I'm serious. I mean, I saw her face go from masculine to feminine. And it was the craziest. I couldn't believe. Incidentally enough, this person became a pastor. She ended up writing a book. And that's basically her landmark testimony that goes into. She wrote a book on identity, which was quite powerful. The reason why I remember that story, I just saw her a couple weeks ago when I was in San Francisco and at a church anniversary, and she came up to me and says, "Hey, aren't you Pastor Sam?" I says, "Yeah, because do you remember me? You prayed for me." We had a really wonderful time together, and she's totally feminine. I'm wearing dresses and everything. It was pretty amazing and stuff. So that's the picture of how that works. So we see this, right? The way we're making a connection. What happens in our soul can affect our body. What happens in our body can affect our soul. What happens in our soul and our spirit can affect all these things. And so in very similar way, we fast every year, okay? beginning of January, I was really blessed. One of my, I'm doing EG on Friday night and Saturday morning, Experiencing God, our discipleship class. And one of the sisters in our class said, "P. Sam, you're looking good." In other words, like, I lost some weight during the fast, but you've kept it off. I guess she's seen me other years where I put the weight on really quick. And she goes, "You kept it off." And when she said that, and even for me, I just feel a lot better about myself when I, don't have a big gut. I mean, is that too vain of me saying that? I mean, that's not vain. I'm just saying that when I'm fit and when I feel healthy, it affects my mood. Do you know what I mean? And so I think I belabored that point. So we understand what I'm saying. What happens to your body affects your soul, can affect your spirit. What happens in your soul, you're depressed, can affect your body, can affect your spirit, so on and so forth. Amen? Are we there? Nod your head. Okay, I convinced you? Good. Then we can move on a little further. So in the scriptures, the soul is oftentimes referred to as flesh. flesh, or another way of saying that, they call it also the sinful nature. So when they talk about sinful nature, they're talking about our mind, will, emotions, sometimes the spirit of the man as well, when it's not given over to the Lord. Our goal then, as Christians, is to live more in the spirit than in our soul, in our flesh. Amen? David, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. If you break up Psalm 103, and there's actually just not, there's many, many Psalms where he says that. If you break up the sentence structure and the way it is, he is offering a command. And what David is saying, he's saying, soul, my soul, mind, will, emotions, soul, I command you to bless the Lord and all that's within me to bless his holy name. David, under the inspiration of Holy Spirit, has this understanding that he wants his soul submissive to the Spirit that's working in his life. And so discipleship, when we talk about discipling a person, discipleship is getting a person's mind, getting a person's will, getting a person's emotions and their body under in submission to Holy Spirit that now governs this person. It's really important we understand that. So we want, as Christians, we want our mind, will, emotions, our soul, our body to submit to Holy Spirit. Think about this. When you pray for the sick, when you are sick, when you're praying for healing, you know what you're doing? What you're doing is you're praying that your body would submit to Holy Spirit, who is healing, who brings healing to us, who operates in healing, who's whole and fresh and new and all these things. And so when I'm praying, and I'm praying for my throat, when I'm praying for my throat, simply what I'm doing in a spiritual sense, I'm commanding my body to come into alignment and serve now the Spirit that's working within me. And I'm commanding wellness and wholeness, what is embodied in my spirit through Holy Spirit, inviting them to come in and touch my body in that way. Does that make sense? So our goal, again, as Christians, is to live more in the Spirit and have the Spirit ruling over us than in our soul or our flesh. Let me give you a verse. Matthew 26, verse 41. Jesus, in speaking to his disciples, look what he says. He says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Now notice the next verse. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, the soul, mind, it's weak. It wants your body. It's you want to sleep. You want to be drowsy. You don't want to be attentive. And he says, the spirit is ready. It's waiting. It's willing, but you're flesh is weak. And so again, discipleship is reversing those things. It's causing the spirit that is ready and willing to now our flesh to be submissive to our spirit in that regard. You guys understand this? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Proverbs 25, 28. What it says. Proverbs 25, 28. Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. Like a city that is broken into and without walls is like a man who has no control over his spirit. A city that is broken down and without walls lacks clear identity, lacks clear boundaries, and lacks the means to protect itself. Similarly, someone who is controlled by his soul will not have a proper identity or solid boundaries that will protect him. God has designed our spirit to be dominant and the soul to be subordinate to the spirit. But unfortunately, what we typically do is we end up feeding primarily our soul instead of feeding our spirit. What I want to talk about for these next 3 weeks or so after this is how do we feed our spirit? How, because he says there's a war that's waged. You know, again, people use, Paul sometimes uses the word flesh to demonstrate this, but there's a war between our, and we could say it a little easier, our spiritual man and our natural man. Our natural man, we're feeding constantly, entertainment, gossip, you know, all kinds of lewdness, and we're constantly feeding all that stuff. But our spirit, our spiritual man, we're very rarely feeding it all. Prayer, the word, you know, worship. That's not so prevalent. And so there's a total disconnect that's happening there. And so the whole part, again, of discipleship is us feeding our spirit. And so we're going to talk about what that's like in that way. Again, let me say this. God has designed our spirit to be dominant and the soul to be subordinate to the spirit. But when we are only feeding our souls instead of our spirits, and we ignore our spirit, that's when trouble begins to happen in our lives. So we want to be in the business of feeding our spirit, or the title of my message, of building our spirits, building up of our spirits. So turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. Just say, you need to build up your spirit. So let me throw another scripture. Now, let's just expand our mind. Let's think a little bit. I know, think what? This is Sunday, man. This is my day off. What do you mean? You ask me to think? Let me draw this out a little bit more for you. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says something very interesting. Paul says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, again, if you break down that verse in Greek, particularly Greek grammar, this is what we would call something is called present tense imperative. In other words, imperative meaning it's a command. In other words, it's not a suggestion. So when Paul is saying be filled with the Spirit, he's not saying if you want to. He's not saying if you would like. He's saying command. It's a present tense imperative. Be filled with the Spirit. It's also what we call in grammar present tense, meaning it's an action that is continually happening. So the proper understanding of Ephesians 5:18 is do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but keep being filled continually with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever wondered why? We know, the Bible tells us very clearly, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when we become a Christian, that we belong to God, and Holy Spirit invades our spirit. God, Holy Spirit comes into our life. We know that, right? That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to be saved. So, think about this. If Holy Spirit is living within me, why does Paul keep telling me to be filled? Aren't I already filled? Holy Spirit, I receive Holy Spirit when I'm saved. That's born again. Why do I keep having to get filled? It's like I'm already filled. Actually, we're not. Our spirit is invaded with Holy Spirit. Things happen, but when we start, you know, sinning and all these other kinds of things, another thing goes into effect here. Being filled with the Spirit, or this idea of being continually filled with the Spirit, means, that's what it means, is that God's Spirit in us begins to infuse and control my human spirit, my soul, and our body. He's living within me. Holy Spirit's there. The Holy Spirit that's in me now begins to take control. It's interesting. You know, in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you remember all those things. It's interesting. The last one is called self-control. Self-control is actually what we're talking about here. In fact, in the passage that I read earlier, which one was that? I think the one in James, or in any case, I'll find it later. These passages, when it talk about self-control, the idea is that self-control, meaning your spirit is actually controlling your soul and your body. That's what it means by self-control. In other words, like someone cuts you off, and you want to get out of the car and bash the other guy's face in, oh, maybe not you, I know, that was a little too violent, sorry. A little too violent. Take a chill pill, Sam, okay? And so, but you know, you get really upset. Self-control is you're controlling your body. Your spirit is controlling your fist instead of you and your anger controlling it. That's what's by self-control. In fact, I want to suggest to you, you can't have self-control unless you have the other gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit operating. Because really, it's only one. You guys know this. The Bible says very clearly, it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit. It's only one fruit. And so self-control is that one. It's the, I would say, it's the manifestation of the fullness of the fruit that's growing in our lives. Being filled with the Spirit means that God's Spirit in us infuses and controls our spirit, our soul, and our body. Let me give you some other passages. This is just scriptures for us to chew on this week, because I know you go home and re-listen the message, and you get the notes out, and you study God's Word, amen? Amen. So that when you go to house church, you can say very profound, wonderful things, and people can think, wow, you are a spiritual man or woman of God. Amen? I know that happens. That happens every week. I know. I love you guys for that. So here's some scriptures to chew on when we're dealing with this and dealing with the spirit of a man. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can bear it? Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. How about the Spirit's role in worship? Luke 1, 46 and 47. And by spirit, I mean little spirit, little s, not capital S, Holy Spirit. My Spirit's role in worship, Luke 1, 46 and 47, Mary the Magnificat. This is what she says. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. How about my spirit's role in understanding, simply in understanding? Job 32:8. But it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Something is happening within us. And then we talked about it before, but my spirit's role in the will. Matthew 26:41. Keep watching and praying, that you may not enter temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we see our spirit's role in dealing with issues of the will. Brothers and sisters, what we're talking about, what we want, is we want the Holy Spirit to have total control of our body, our mind, our will, our emotions. And that our spirit, infused with Holy Spirit, connecting to Holy Spirit, would lead our body and our soul. Amen? So let me teach you the prayer now. It's a powerful prayer. It's a really simple prayer, but it's powerful. And we pray this over the kids. And I want you to start a daily habit of doing this. When I leave for home, and so I shower, because I leave home quite early to come to morning prayer. And so my wife is sleeping. Actually, everyone's sleeping. And I'll go over and I'll just pray over my wife. I'll say, Lisa, I bless your spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and to lead your body and your soul in Jesus' name. And I'll pray for Andrew. Andrew, I bless your spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and to lead your body and your soul in Jesus' name. I'll go to the kids, and Elise, I bless your spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and to lead your body and soul in Jesus' name. And, you know, I got a lot of kids, but, you know, one after another, you know, we make this happen, all of them. And then I come to work, and even when I'm here at church, I do the same thing now. I just bless them, and it's amazing. We learned this, actually, myself, my wife, Max and Melinda, we learned it at the marriage workshop that I told you about last week. And so, you know, a lot of it was inner healing deliverance. And there was a couple sitting on our table, and they had actually gone to another, a different form of this, but by the same organization. And they learned this, what they call spirit blessing. And they learned this, and they says they've been doing it every day. They've been blessing each other. They've been blessing their family. They've been blessing their relatives. And they said, so it was about a month and a half between when they went into that thing. And he says, in a month and a half, so many things have changed. Because we've been starting praying biblical prayers. And we've been praying God's will and God's heart and just blessing their spirit, you know. And I sat there and I said, you know what? I've never done that in my life. And I knew this whole idea of body, soul, and I understood. I mean, I taught on it, but it never dawned on me to call out my spirit, to connect the Holy Spirit, and to lead my body and my soul. That's what I want. I want Holy Spirit to lead my body. I want it to be whole. I want Holy Spirit to lead my mind. And that's really what Paul is saying in Romans to us in chapter 12. By the renewing of our mind, he's saying getting more of Holy Spirit. So give your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, devote it completely to the Lord. In other words, give it over to God. Give it over to his Holy Spirit. And so let's do this. I want you to repeat after me. I want you to get this because I want you to practice this. This is how we're going to build our spirit. And remember, God has given us the power to bless. Powerful. We have the ability. Now, we also have the ability to curse. We don't want to do that. We want to bless. And so you, brothers and sisters, today, you have the supernatural privilege to bless. Even angels don't have that privilege. You have the supernatural privilege to bless your spouse, to bless your children, to bless your friends, to bless brothers and sisters. And you can bless them with gifts. You can bless them with well-wish, right? But bless them with this prayer every single day. Okay? So, you guys ready? You repeat after me, and then I'm going to make you do it. All right? And then we're going to close our service. Real simple. So, turn to your neighbor. We'll do it two times, so we'll make you do each other. Everyone got a neighbor? If you don't, find a neighbor. Everyone got somebody? Two to two. Can you find, is there someone else that needs one? There's a sister right here in the front. Everyone two to two? Kim, can you go right there? Divide that group up. Okay. So, repeat. We're going to say this all together first. Just repeat after me, and then you're going to do it to one another. We'll give you some time. So, I bless your spirit to connect with Holy Spirit and lead your body and soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. So go ahead, do that. So I'll lead you. You go find out their name first. Go ahead. What's your name? Okay. Everyone know your name? Okay. It's good. You've passed the first test. Now, who's gonna pray for the person? Just choose one person now. So you pray one, okay? Everyone done? All right, now I want to say this. Say whatever the name is, so-and-so. Go ahead, so-and-so. I bless your spirit to connect with Holy Spirit and lead your body and soul in Jesus' name. Now, other person, switch now. Switch. Now, say the name, so-and-so. I bless your spirit to connect with Holy Spirit and lead your body and soul in Jesus' name. That was it. That was a powerful prayer. No, I'm serious. You know what? Now, let me just say, we are Christians. We do not practice animism. You know what animism is? Animism is occultic. In other words, there are certain phrases that we use, and if I just use that phrase, then I have power, or that's powerful. It's a form of worship. We're not animists in that way. When we pray this, we're praying with our heart. I want to bless Peter. I want him to be so blessed. And so when I pray for him, I'm praying with the content of my heart. In other words, I'm not just offering words without the content of my being. You guys understand what I'm saying? That's occultic. That's called animism. That's not what we're about. So I'm not just saying that we go about our day and say, oh, I bless your spirit. That's not what so our prayer, because, I mean, Christianity, it could very easily lead in this way. What started in the place of intimacy, what started in that place of trust, what started in that place of passion could very easily turn into ritual and religion. We see that happening in the church all the time. And so because I know it's a specific prayer phrase and whatnot, but it's powerful. And especially when the content of our heart comes with it and we submit our will and our mind, our emotions to the Lord, and then we pray for one another in this way, it's powerful. Just like in the same way, people can say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," with no content whatsoever of their heart. And it just becomes a phrase. I mean, the prayer itself is powerful, but it loses the oomph of it in many ways because it's turned into ritual. It's turned into religion instead of a vibrant relationship with the Father. You guys understand what I'm saying? Okay? And so I really believe when we're talking about building our spirit. Like next week, I'm going to do part two. We're going to go a little deeper in this. But I just want, because I know I had to build a lot of foundation today. And so just simply, I want you to do this every single day. And this is the easiest way to do this. Well, Pastor Sam, who should I do this to? Whoever you love. Whoever you love. If you love your wife, every day. If you love your kids, every day. If you love me, every day. Right? If you love your friends, every day. It's not such a long prayer. You can, okay, I'll be honest, sometimes when I'm really busy, I just put my whole family in one. I said, I bless Lisa, I bless Elise, I bless Andrew, I bless Hannah, I bless Emma. It's okay. Because I'm saying the same prayer. So don't get caught into formulas. And that becomes the enemy of intimacy. And so we work in this way. Amen? All right. Let's let the worship team to come up. Okay. Every day. With those that we love. And just watch what happens through the course of time. And I want to be in the business of blessing people, not cursing. I want to be in the business of building people up. I want our church, I want our body of Christ, I want our spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and lead our body and our soul. I don't want emotions to rule my life. I don't want my will or lack of will to rule my life. You guys understand what I'm saying? I don't want my body or the infatuation with my body to rule my life. I want the Spirit of God that resides in my spirit to rule my life. I want my spirit to come under Holy Spirit. The inner man that's being renewed day by day, I want it to submit itself to Holy Spirit and to lead my body and my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. So let's close our eyes. And let me have the privilege of blessing you today. Solomon's Porch family, my brothers and sisters, whom I love, whom God loves, sitting in this room and out in the hallway and in the baby rooms, today, I bless your spirit to connect to the Holy Spirit and to rule and lead your body and your soul in Jesus' name. I bless you to worship God with abandon today. I bless you to have the ability to give God everything. I bless you to live an abundant life in Christ. I bless you with peace. I bless you with love. I bless you with a greater understanding of the grace of God. And I bless you with the ability this week to receive his affection. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's sing this together.
Sing, "Here I Am Waiting." Abide in me, I pray.
Pray together, huh? Lord, all my life, God, take over. Now, that's basically what I've been talking about, God. Every part of my life, God, in my spirit, God, in my soul, Lord, my mind, will, emotions, in my body, God, come and take over, Lord. Let us be self-controlled. In other words, a spirit controlling. God, teach us to build ourselves up as we build the house this year. We thank you for the revelation, God, of this prayer. Such a simple prayer, but such a powerful prayer. Help us to practice every day that we build, and we ask you to lead our spirit, that Holy Spirit would lead our soul and our body, God. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you so much, God. Bless you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Let the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord let him lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Would you hug someone next to you? Say, thanks for blessing me. Man, I'm going to bless you this week. I'm going to pray for you this week. If you need some prayer, you want the Spirit to touch your body, come to the front and we'll pray for you or your mind or whatever's going on. But have a wonderful week this week. Come out to prayer and we'll see you guys next week.